G'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. Today on the show, it's the Loose Ballers. We've got no deal, but we got Ryan Daniels off the top with a news wrap. If you haven't liked us on Instagram, please do that at Hardball Gets AFL and you can submit your questions for the boys. And follow us on Twitter as well, at Hardball Gets AFL. Subscribe to the show, leave a rating, leave a review, do all the things that I have mentioned. All right, get stuck in. This is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rean, joined by Xavier Ellis, and on the line, the newsman himself, Ryan Daniels. Xavier, you have some feedback off the top, did you say?
Yeah, I do. So we did Flashpoint on Monday.
Yes.
So current, for those who don't know, current affairs sort of show, sporting segment off the back of it.
Yeah, eight minutes. Rhino's the boss. I get called in occasionally.
It's rating. It's absolutely rating.
Yeah,
you know,
rating its dick off.
People are loving it. People are loving it.
Yeah, it's rating highly now. So I did it. Now Rhino's the port of call. Like you are, I send you an invoice.
Yeah.
So I wrote it. I wrote it. So firstly, the first invoice untouched.
Yeah.
Second, so this was, it was 8 weeks ago. So I thought,
I did forward it onto the bean counters.
No, you didn't. Because I heard something back day one when I sent you this one. And I just wrote, hey, Coxmack, here's another invoice. Hey, forward on, please. If I wrote that to you, would you just forward on the invoice or forward the entire email onto everyone in finance, the bosses? So my email calling him a cocksmack and getting into him has gone through the whole of seven. And then, of course, the invoice was done incorrectly because Rhino didn't tell me where to direct it to. And now all of a sudden I am the cocksmack on return of serve from everyone else around this joint.
Finance got back to you?
Yes.
Hey, cocksmack.
Yeah, no, we'll clean it up, cocksmack, or something like that. Yeah. So thanks, Rhino.
You're lucky because my boss is I'm lucky. My boss basically speaks like that to me all the time. So it was basically normal language for him. And you sent a follow-up email today with a new invoice with much nicer language.
Much, much nicer. Yeah, we might finish that with we may be in lockdown, but you're never locked out of my heart.
I was going
to
say.
Something like that.
Kind regards, your treasured acquaintance.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, Rhino.
Yeah, the reason we got him on Rhino today, not typically coming on the Wednesday podcast, but it's too busy a news week. We had to get a rundown, mate. So we're the very, very, very long tail project to reclaim the VFL has been successful for Gill, et cetera.
Yep.
Everybody's there, right?
They've got it.
What's the state of play, Rhino?
Well, can I firstly say the last 2 days, worst possible days for me to have off. I've been navigating all this news, trying to make calls and stay on top of it while dealing with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old as my wife works from home. So anyone could imagine it's been a nightmare. But it has been trying to stay on top of it, and I think I've managed to do that somehow. So it's basically there are conspiracy theorists out there. If you went on Big Footy now, you would probably find a bunch of threads about how the Victorian football media have started coronavirus just for this.
You know the end of 12 Monkeys when Brad Pitt gets on the plane with the suitcase and all the that was Gill.
Have you seen it, Rhino, or are you just fake laughing?
No, I have. I love 12
Monkeys.
You've seen 12 Monkeys?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, mate, you got to see 12 Monkeys. Great movie.
It's very good. It moved pretty fast. And X, you know, we were on doing that Flashpoint on Monday night. We finished recording about 7:30. And as we were recording it, it was like, okay, this is the state. There's no Victorian hub, no chance. Like, just a beat up. Dockers are staying here. They'll play Carlton. Yeah. Eagles go to July. Everything was fine.
Yeah.
And we've literally walked out of the studio and one of the techs has said, there's a presser at 8. And I was like, crap. And then I'll check my phone. Some blokes messaged me, contact saying lockdown 3 days. And I've gone, oh, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah.
So everything flipped on its head in the space of an hour or so on Monday night. Now, every single AFL club is now in Victoria, which is incredible when you think of where the footy was last year. Even 6 weeks ago, they were back into their sort of chaos. And last year, there was only a handful of games in Victoria and none with crowds. So we've basically flipped the script entirely. It's the only real safe place. And the issue became borders. Basically, every state is locked out. South Australia joined that group today. And even Tassie now is panicked and basically said, hold on a minute, we're the only place that doesn't have an issue,
yeah,
we're going to keep everybody else out, which makes sense when you're a tiny island. You can do that. So it's pretty chaotic. Fremantle and West Coast arrive there and they'll basically stay there for the short term. That the issue is, guys, no one really knows how long they're going to be there for, when they can go home, and it all depends on all these individual borders and the fixtures coming up, because it's just as easy to say, oh, we're sweet here in WA after a couple of days. It's only a couple of cases.
Yeah.
But, you know, that it's all blocked. Going to South Australia is hard. Going to Queensland is hard.
Do you
going
think,
to New South Wales.
Do you think the AFL is big enough, employing, in like how big it is for the community, throw the mental health in there as well, for, you know, something to do whilst in lockdown, that the tick of approval would be looked at leniently? That's why I'm surprised that Tassie didn't pull the trigger. It's not like these people who are in the mine in NT. Yeah. Like, they get tested 7 times a week.
I'm really surprised about Tassie, because Fremantle were pushing really hard for it. The AFL was really keen to do it. Obviously, they're in the process of applying, you know, going through that, you know, should they have a team process.
Mm.
So you would have thought that they'd be jumping at everything. But, you know, everyone's saying safety comes first. I think what will happen here after this little bit of panic, and once the dust settles on, okay, which states are actually a concern? You know, is it as bad as New South Wales, or are we just pumping the brakes a little bit here in South Australia, which is the hope? And then that'll shift everything. So I wouldn't be making any rash decisions. This is all just about this weekend.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Then once they get through the round, get to Monday next week, get to Tuesday next week, you know, everything might be different. There's every chance our lockdown ends on Friday night, midnight.
Yeah.
I'm not as surprised about the Tassie one. I think that when they read the mood of the population.
Is it what's good for the goose is good for the gander sort of thing? Why would we let these people in when people from other states, families can't come home?
A little bit of that, like you can piss off the electorate, be like, well, yeah, I can't see my family,
yeah,
but we're bending over backward to accommodate this league who won't even give us a team
kind of thing.
Like that.
Yeah.
That all
there's
builds.
There's a bit of that. There's a bit of that. And it's not a scheduled game. Like so far, bar one. Mm. Yes, now we'll get to that in a sec. But so far, just about all the games they've already had down there have been games that were planned. I think there was one that got moved down there for North Melbourne.
Yeah, there was.
The rest were already there. So that's a different thing. There's already money in that. This is a whole, okay, let's take a risk. If it's a calculated one, but it's still a risk. And, you know, you've got to be 100% sure when you do that. Now, that Hawthorn Frio game is next week, which is part of the reason why Frio were kind of keen to get there. They wouldn't have stayed there. I believe they would have still had to come back to Melbourne, but it's more about, you know, getting Carlton to go to Tassie, which is quite difficult. It makes it a pretty close 50-50 game almost.
Yeah.
And then playing there the next week, you're getting an extra game there, so you're a bit more familiar the following week. It just makes sense.
If this goes for 6 weeks, this season's an asterisk. I don't care what anyone says.
You're putting an asterisk on it?
100%.
So Richmond Steel Dynasty, if one of theirs was an asterisk?
That's an asterisk. Of course it is. It's 16 minutes quarters. And you played each other once.
Yeah.
The issue I have is last year was different because it happened so early in the piece.
And everyone.
It was a pretty level playing field.
And it went to Queensland, where there was Gold Coast Suns, who were somewhat irrelevant, and Brisbane.
Yeah.
Whereas Victoria, there's 10 teams there, and then there's every second team's out. Like, he's not.
Well, that was the Freo thing. The Simon Garlick, their CEO's comments this morning sort of said, you know, it just doesn't sit comfortably with me that Carlton get to sleep in their own beds and drive to our home game. That's the grand final.
But Simon Garlick, I think he does a great job.
I think they've all been doing a really good job. Like, these guys would be tearing their hair out. I mean, their main job as CEOs, and we'll just talk specifically about Trevor Nisbet and Simon Garlick, WA guys, their main job is to, yes, build a winning football club, but they're also there to make money. They're also there to, you know, look after their staff.
Yeah.
And so much of that has been impossible. There was a report from, I think he was on SEN today.
Yeah, it was.
$6 million.
$6 million.
For the games that they've lost this year. That's insane.
I think that counts credits, though. So that's it. That would be the number if every member asked for their credits back. But as we've seen, that's another good thing across the whole competition. The members just, most of them are just saying, look, to take it.
Well, it's a bit like my MCC membership is, once it's paid, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, whatever. But my question is, boys,
how long does that goodwill last?
I think it's very, very lucky that it's not run by the government footy clubs.
Yeah.
Because right now there's so many people pissed off with governments and the lackadaisical vaccination rollout that if West Coast were in charge, I'd be saying, no, it's your fault, guys. Get off your asses and get going. Give me my money back. Whereas West Coast and Freo and every football club, they're getting whacked over the head, which is not their doing. Like they can't help that no one's got a needle.
That's a good point. So the blame doesn't lie with them. So
I don't think so.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, they haven't done anything wrong. So look, if this goes into another year, which we said this last year, we can't see it being the same. And look, it has been better this year, but this recent sort of turn of events from Monday to now, it just shows you how close and fickle it was. I mean, we were really riding luck.
Of course we were. And WA's been lucky, nothing other than lucky. Before you know it, you've got miners that roll in, you've got physio. How funny is the story, though, the 30 people at the original party, 24 got COVID and 6 didn't.
They were vaccinated.
And the 6 were the vaccinated 6 in the party.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They should put that on a poster for vaccination.
Shouldn't they?
Literally just show pictures of that party on an ad.
Yeah.
And just circle the vaccinated ones.
Do you think when they mention like the super spreader party, do you just picture some big swingers orgy?
Yeah.
In the bowl.
That's what I picture. Like everyone's just swinging hands and you're like, well, we've all come out with something. Ron, a really quick one because I know you do have to go back to the little ones. West Coast Freo fines, masks. What's happening there?
Oh, my God, how stupid. I don't think they'll get anything. I think they might get a little bit of a just, hey, guys, you know, do the righty.
Yeah,
who took that photo? Probably. I mean,
both clubs tweeted it out.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I had a close look, but I was more looking for who's sitting where, who's near each other.
Yeah, same.
I didn't even pick up that stuff. You have to go looking for it.
Who's got it?
Can I just – well, it was on Perth Now, wasn't it, Nick, or was it somewhere else before?
Someone would have pointed the finger first. Surely a do-gooder out there.
I'm not sure.
I was off yesterday, so I don't know the process.
Madness, isn't it?
But to me, if anyone out there is listening and they want to get – angry about that stuff, you're in the wrong game. Like, it's honestly, like, they've been thrown on a plane at the last minute. They got their masks mostly on. I can tell you, anyone that's been on a plane with those masks or any, how many times does it just slip down a little bit? You just pull it
slip off
the
nose.
They had their kids with them as well and all that sort of stuff. Like, my kids rip them off all the time.
Just move on, people, you do-gooders.
The do-gooders, just, you're right, shut the
front door.
Shut the front door and stop whinging. Worry about your own backyard. That's one thing I've noticed during this stuff is we're all worried about everyone else's issues. Like, it's so annoying anyway. And Nick Nat had a FaceTime today with LeBron.
that was not real.
Did you see that? Yeah, have a look at his Insta stories.
Was it Shuey's Insta stories?
Shuey's Insta stories, yeah. Mate, it's crazy. Joshy, you saw it.
I did, mate, but I believe you're trying to stitch us up. You're on the inside trying to stitch the media up.
at work.
LeBron was not wearing a face mask in that FaceTime, mate.
I'm glad I'm not at Channel 7 today. If they saw that, they probably would have thought it was real.
Mate, well, we did, and then everyone at work was like, my God, Nick Nat's with LeBron, talking to LeBron, so I made a couple of little calls. And whilst I was on the phone to whoever I was speaking to, I was like, no way, Chris Paul's there. And then everyone's eyes were like, they're going to watch Phoenix, Devin Booker. This is unbelievable. And everyone's like, this is amazing. Nick Nat's friends with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, LeBron James, Ben Simmons.
When in reality, all the Nick Nat's friends are from Midland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not LeBron James, no. anything else you need to drop, mate?
I don't think so. So that Freo game's going to be in Geelong. I think it's going to be Saturday night because they were going to play it in the Arvo if it was in Tassie because obviously night games are a bit more difficult there. But it's going to be night time. So 3 games in Geelong this weekend, which is pretty crazy. Good for the people of Geelong, I suppose.
Geelong,
absolutely. Now, last one, mate, Flashpoint. Which Rhino host does a tremendous job and highly rating.
You can probably catch it on 7 Plus.
Now, the question I got was how important is the role of the media and being super accurate at this time for the players? Mm. You know, Rhino took his first step into political tweeting. literally, the question he asked me on Flashpoint, and then 2 minutes later, he's tweeted something political and got it wrong.
I got pretty close. If there's a pretty close meter, I would have got to about 80%.
Yeah.
I I had the heads up. It was a 3-day lockdown, and somehow it's 4. And
he broke the news to all of Perth.
3-ish.
Just after telling me how accurate you got to beat this time in a pandemic, and got it wrong.
I tell you what, those Vic media, they would have been laughing because the next, after I've sat there on Flashpoint and said, you know, just pump the brakes. It's a bit of hype. And then all this happens. All they needed was 3 extra states to lock down, and they're right.
Did we actually play that Flashpoint? Did the episode go to air? Because we were out by a long way. You never think we did.
No, because I checked it, and basically it all held up.
Okay.
I mean, because at that point we still weren't kind of sure, and it didn't age beautifully, but it held up.
So, and you're going to keep going down the political path?
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Mm. I could have gone today, do you know? Like, ooh. I could have gone today with the case today. It's a bit risky, the health stuff. I'm not sure it's a...
Start weighing into vaccinations, sure, mate. Just go that. That's a pretty... there's not much controversy in that area.
I'll do some polls on vaccinations.
On social media, you get through pretty easily.
No, but actually, funny enough, I did one the other day when there was no crowds. I said, righto, one crowd equals no... One case, no crowd. Are we a fan of locking it down, lock this shit down, or, you know, whatever? I said, no, let's just relax or whatever. Something like 1,000 votes, or more than 1,000, 66% said, no, let's just let it go for a bit. Let's just chill out and see what happens.
There's still 33% are happy to just shut it down.
Lock it down. I'll tell you what, if Nana Norma gets to 90 and she doesn't drink 1,000 stubbies because she's deemed vulnerable and I've been locked down 4 times for Nana Norma, I'll be pretty pissed.
All right, good on you, Rhino. Thanks for coming on board, mate.
All right, guys. See you next week.
See you, Rhino.
You said there's going to be an asterisk.
It has to be.
Even if this, like after this round, or you mean just like a couple of weeks?
No, but do you generally feel as though that the footy's going to be back to normal next week?
No, I don't.
How many weeks do you think that they'll be there for? They've been told to plan for a month.
Yeah, I'm a little bit scared.
Yeah, so if you're...
I'm thinking in my head, the number I keep coming back to is 6, and I don't know why that is, but that's just...
They're there for 6 weeks, you reckon?
Yeah.
Well, your head.
See how it goes.
Yeah, no, I think that as soon as it's there for another week or two, and then I reckon 3 weeks you lose fairness in the competition. Yeah. And saying we get to choose where you play, well, bullshit.
Yeah.
Like OBGB, OBNGH, for Carlton, still a 40-minute drive up the road.
Well, that's so Ryan Buckland, a columnist for us, the Economist, has done his column in pregame tomorrow. It'll be on the west.com.au as well.
Oh, but get it.
About the how they might try, basically saying there's no way to do it, but the levels they might try to reach where everyone has 10 home games at their home deck.
Yeah.
And that's the level, like that's the method they pick as the that's kind of fair.
Yeah, but so what does that mean for West Coast and Freo?
Well, that means they'll have to get some back at the end of the year.
But they're playing these games as their home games.
Yeah, I know. That's what they're playing home games over there. That's what he's saying. They're going to have to get like 2 or 3 back at the end of the year.
Yeah, they're not though, because they're deemed as their home game. So if these were deemed as their away games, yeah, great. So pile in some away games now and get a return of serve coming.
But I think that's everybody's a bit askew about where they.
Yeah, as long as that's a deal. As long as that's a deal, like don't worry who's home and away. But otherwise, it has to be because. At the moment, a little bit of power is with Freo to pick what ground they want. As much as it doesn't matter,
yes,
means nothing. That is their home ground advantage. So essentially, that is their home game.
And the best they can get is Geelong.
Yeah,
in terms of getting.
Is that where Freo are?
That's where Freo are.
So Freo and West Coast are down there.
Yeah, Freo and West Coast are both played it this weekend.
Oh, I hate that ground too.
GMHB as you be.
Yeah, it's just skinny. It's like a little cigar stick.
Like the old Subi. Is that a bit like the old Subi? Subi was
shorter.
Yeah, okay.
But similar. You kick it out in the full all the time. Watch how many times you kick it out the full at those grounds.
Yeah, right.
Do you feel as though there's any reason to put in a little? Last year you said the Richmond one, and they're still triple premiership players. Absolutely no doubt about that.
But
that's why I don't say they're better than West Coast. Better than Hawthorn.
Yeah.
Or Geelong of that era, because it was done normal playing conditions, normal playing times, normal grand final, normal venues, normal salaries, normal bloody everything. Whereas congratulations Richmond, and last year's probably fairer than this year because, as we said in chatting to Rhino, everyone went to Queensland essentially.
Yeah, everyone had some kind.
So advantage Brisbane Lions.
Mm.
And they didn't win a flag, so stiff pickies.
Yeah.
But now it's advantage 10 teams. You put a hole through probably 5 of those teams that won't make finals anyway. But then you go, well, what about Port Adelaide? What about West Coast? What about Sydney?
Mm.
What about Brisbane? Brisbane not so much because they had the lick last year. But I don't know. I just feel as though if this drags on for a little bit longer and there isn't resolution saying, all right, WA teams get four home, the last month of football
all in WA.
Is in Perth.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's an asterisk. And not through the fault of anyone else. It's a pandemic. Like, it's no one's fault. You're not blaming anyone, but it is.
So I was only a few weeks ago, I was thinking about planning out the grand final trip, thought I'd go over and have a bunch of meetings that week, et cetera, et cetera.
Put it through the tax.
We're
no chance to get. I said to Mum today on the phone, I won't be home for Christmas.
Yeah, you reckon?
Well, so you got to go 28 days of zero.
Is that the, that was last year.
Well, that, I don't was know that if McGowan that's the same. Pre-election?
Yeah, that was kind of pre-election. Now it's a little bit more flexible.
Yeah, we'll just call it 28 days.
Yeah.
So we're nowhere near that anyway, because you don't know what's going to happen in the next little bit. And then I can't do 14 days for anyone.
ISO.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be as rigid as it was last year.
Yeah.
I think,
I told the old man, he better not pass away in the next little while. I ain't doing 14 days. It's gonna be a Zoom funeral for me, Jeff.
Raise a stubby at home. we're trying to plan that because I got between Mum and my two sisters, there's four of us in four states. So
where was going to be Queensland?
I hadn't thought about Christmas this year. It was probably over here, but we catch up either side. So maybe Tasmania we'll be able to get into
Jesus.
If they let us in.
But even like the non-vaccinated healthcare worker in Queensland today.
They're kind of popping up all over the shop at the moment. Anyway, so what's the mark for an asterisk? 3 weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks.
3 weeks, which would be two home games.
Okay. Go on.
Because you always got
to
play one away.
You can mix
there.
It around outside of that to make it even enough.
Yeah.
Let's say we're going in for 6 weeks, Melbourne hub. Does that change your premiership favourite? Who would you think at the moment?
Oh, Bulldogs Melbourne.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Bulldogs Melbourne, isn't it? Brisbane making a real charge, but if they get ripped out of Brisbane.
Yeah, there might be a game, though. So they are in Melbourne, but their crowds are capped as well. So there's no Richmond with 70,000.
No.
It's Richmond with 13 people at Etihad.
Yeah, sleeping in their own beds and everything else.
Yeah, no, I get that. But like, it'd be like the Dogs turned up, sitting at the ground on the weekend on Sunday, and yeah, you're at home or whatever, but losing that home 50,000, 60,000 going bananas, it makes a huge difference. And that'll be the same for them over there. So
there are a few calls during that game which would have never happened.
Oh, yeah.
Or a few others that got overlooked that would have never been overlooked.
Yeah, well, the one where Gaffey got his head punched in and it was play on.
Yeah.
I have a feeling the crowd would have found that one.
Yeah, I feel like there might have been a response to that one. They might have still been booing right now.
No, I agree.
On to some actual footy. We're assuming at this stage that all the games are being played
this
week.
Well, I
think it will be. Yeah, they're all there. Crowds or whatever. The games should be able to be played from now. One of those games that will be, it's a bit of a shame, there isn't a bigger crowd for it. 400 game milestone is Sean Burgoyne.
Sean Burgoyne, 400.
Does this have an asterisk given he was the injury sub? Yeah. Did he come on the field?
Yeah, he did. Denver Ranger Brass. Sean Burgoyne, how good was it going to be leading into Indigenous rounds? He was tracking towards 400 on the dot.
He got injured.
Was the sub over here? All that sort of stuff. He gets his injury. Misses out on playing 400 for Sir Douglas round. And then now he was sub on the weekend to build him up.
Yeah.
And now there's going to be no one there.
Yeah. It's a shame, but great.
Huge effort. They literally thought they'll get him for probably 2 years or something with his knee. So
how many years has he been there now? Was it 2010? Was it 2010?
10, I reckon.
Yeah, right.
It's
a hell of a career.
Mate, amazing career. I'll just get it up really quickly. I did have it up. It was. So he's played. How many games have you played for Port Adelaide?
Oh, 150, 160?
Yeah, 157, 242 so far for whatever it is for Hawthorn, 399, 242. How many best and fell? We've done this before.
Yeah.
Never won a BNF and only one time All Australian.
It's just. It's a class.
Clutch moments.
And the stretch of three, 4 years where. Last quarters in big games, Sean Burgoyne always had an impact.
Yeah, it's fun. And he's a superstar, but spoken about Sam Mitchell and Hodgie, I reckon, were above him.
Yep.
Just
in terms of, overall output. Standing with him.
Yeah, output. But Sean had some moments where you're like, wow, Like that, when they needed a centre clearance, Silk would go in there. Clarko had his little trio that he loved, and in they went and often won it. Like
there'd be 10 games that would have come down to Whitey Hawthorn win that game because they had Sean Burgoyne at the end.
Yeah, did something, kicked a goal, steady as a ship, beautiful kick of the footy.
Do you know how many years were you on the list with him?
Four.
What's he like as a bloke around the club?
So he was number – what number is he?
Number nine.
I was number eight. He's great. Nice guy, Ripper. Fantastic for the Indigenous kids that turn up to the footy club. Obviously, some Indigenous lads are from all parts of the world, Tiwi Islands, North WA, all that sort of stuff. Amos Frank, APY Lands, all that sort of stuff. So he was brilliant in involving, educating, upskilling, helping in a big city, Shawnee. But most of all, mate, he was just a good fella. Like, I don't think anyone really said I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Sean Burgoyne. Like, I get called a dick all the time. Yeah. I don't think anyone's ever called Shawnee Burgoyne. The one thing, Shawnee, though, you could start a story, you could go have your shower, have a sauna, get your massage, ring home, mow the lawns, come back, and the story would still be going at the locker. Old Shawnee, you're never a short ending to one of Shawnee's stories. What an achievement, what a man. Him and Pete, what a dynamic duo they were.
The game's played so much faster and harder, just like from a pure, not harder as in like a hard man, but from a physical, the speed that people are going, the like velocity they're hitting each other with. And for us to have two, so before Boomer Harvey before this, like, you know, in our sort of adult life,
different body shapes
two blokes go through. Yeah.
Shawnee was a stick in, get the vision of the 04 granny.
Oh, is he just?
He's a stick, mate. And then he obviously so powerful, so speedy. Obviously, his last year, I think if it wasn't 400, he would have been wrapped up last year.
Well, he was thinking about their sons made a bid, didn't they? That he was really considering for a while.
Was it last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Whenever it was. Yeah. But yeah, no, I thought at the time it was a bit unusual that he got to stay because Hodgie was moved on, Mitch was moved on, Geordie Lewis was moved on. Ruffy was retired essentially, so I thought it was always a bit weird that Shawnee, but 400 games is no milestone that we might not see.
Yeah.
So
you don't think that you're going to get there.
Nah, 400 is huge, mate. Mm. It's so big. So, bravo, four premierships.
It goes to show that when those clubs are sort of moving out older players, that sometimes they'll be there for a decade.
Mate, he had I still remember he broke his jaw first year in playing for Box Hill. In the VFL, and we were going shit, and our star recruit broke his jaw. It was no good. Everyone was like, "Oh, this is no." And then all of a sudden, it just took fire. Jeez. Yeah, too good.
Other bits and pieces around North Melbourne. So there was a Tom Brown with some news about. There was nothing super strong to it, but just put on the table that North Melbourne are back in the Josh Kelly race.
What round are we up to? It must be a timer 16, on. It must 17. Be a timer on some on Tom Brown's phone or whoever. Righto, we need to align someone to North Melbourne, and they won't get them, and then we'll go. Oh, they've missed out on another big fish. So Josh Kelly
going after Boddy Franklin. His footy last year.
His footy was going no good.
And he's started this year, the corner,
and now all of a sudden he's back worth what he's worth. Mm. A classy player that plays outside can do a little bit inside, but I think he's way better when he's outside.
Yeah, the wing. He's wing half forward.
Pop into the mid. I reckon I'd love to see him two outside the contest, one inside the contest.
Yeah,
For example, Gaffey, I don't like seeing Gaffey inside
just
the contest.
When people are that good outside, just leave him
outside. Be the best wingman in the competition. When he's in there, I'm like, and he slaps it on his boot and he doesn't use that. He has a beautiful kick, Gaffey.
Yeah.
But we don't see it as much as what we used to because he does a lot of work inside as well, whereas Josh Kelly, I think, can go inside.
Why is it this mecca? Why are people never satisfied with being anything but an inside midfielder?
Don't know. But
every preseason.
Imagine sitting there going, I want to get bashed a little bit more. Yeah, so put me in there.
I'd like to see the turnaround next preseason be like some inside midfielder comes out and be like, I'd really like to try a halfback flank.
Imagine Elliot Yeo or Shuey going to Simo going, hey, man, just thinking I might do wing this year if that's cool.
His forward pocket. Have we got anyone down there?
I want to be more inside the contest. Why?
Yeah.
What for? You don't kick goals. You don't get all the glitz and glamour of running and bouncing.
Just get pummeled for four quarters.
Bashed.
And then retire at 29.
And your back hurts and your corkies and you do calves and hamstrings. And Nah, bugger that. It's yeah, Josh Kelly. He's worth. He's got a. Is it 1.2?
Yeah, there's the talk of the offers about 1.1, but he's already got that deal.
Well, the trigger's done. Yeah, yeah, signed. Yeah,
he just has to. Well, I think he just has to say, yeah, I'll do it. It's all player option, so he just has to say yes.
Which is a great contract.
It's a great contract to get.
Who's his manager? Is it Connors?
Yeah, I think it's Paul Connors. Yeah. Sorry if I'm not wrong. If I'm right there, not right.
It's a good contract. Yeah, I'll pick where I'll play for how much.
Some of them, when they're in a tight spot with everybody leaving.
Mate, the way he was playing at the start of this year was worth $500,000 maximum.
And now, yeah, but then he sort of turned it up.
Now he's the best outside cleanest class he's played in the comp again.
Very annoying when they got him going and Toby's going. Toby this year is probably his best year in a while.
Yeah.
If not best year.
Oh, last year he got polled the most Brownlow votes for GWS last year.
Did he?
And missed half a season.
It's so, for Toby to poll Brownlow votes, you know, he's actually going extra good. Given his relationships.
I think I know someone who found a dollar for Toby most Brownlow votes.
Oh, really, really?
M's brother or something. yeah, no, you're right, though. Josh Kelly, North Melbourne, do they need...
it's a bit early for them. I think
Gold
it's a bit
Coast, early for them Gold Coast need a Josh Kelly.
Yeah, they could... I think it's too early. Well, they're also...
They need a star, mate. They need a star. And we said last year when Treloar was on the market, and I was like, they just need a star. Just get someone to take a bit of pressure off where, you know, righto, and they don't grow on trees, obviously, but like Bont, you know he's going to have 30 if he plays midfield. If he goes forward, he's going to kick two or three goals.
And everyone else can fold in around.
And then you just, all right, you bank that. We're winning that contest. We're at the moment... Mm. Who stands there? Who's their best midfielder?
The Gold Coast? Mm. Yeah, no idea.
So you go, I'm like, oh, do we win that contest? Do we win that contest? On their day, they're not going to lose all of them, obviously, because they've got some good players. But there's none you're banking on.
No.
Is there really?
There's none that, apart from maybe, Took. Sorry, apologies to Took. Took's their best midfielder.
Yeah, but he's not a game winner.
But he's not a game winner. Yeah, no. But, like, you can at least highlight him as their best mid.
Yeah.
Like, they know consistency-wise what they're going to get from him. Everyone
he's consistently one of the best players in the competition.
Yeah.
But in terms of what he, like, the attributes he's got, he's not, he can
kick. Want him to be your number two or three.
Mate, imagine if he's number three.
Yeah, you'd be unreal.
He'd be great. Mm. Number three would be like a Jacko McRae.
Yeah, just getting it done. You know exactly what he's going to do.
You're going to get the 30-odd every week. Mm.
He's the bedrock that the others build the match-winning stuff on.
Yeah, I love McRae. But that's what Miller... Does Isaac Rankin play this week? At what stage do they go, let's just cop the loss but actually make a statement?
Yeah, it's coming. And that's sort of moving on to that, there's Stewie Jew.
Yeah.
Like, we all seem to have this faith in Stewie Jew as a coach.
Yeah.
He was built up for about 5 years as the next great coach. Took the Gold Coast job, obviously like a high ceiling.
But we were all big on the Gold Coast at the start of the year.
Yeah, we were. And like the start of last year and the start of the year before probably. But what point does it actually start to bite him, or do they just have that much faith that he's the right person, they're going to stick him? Out of contract at the end of next year, I think we looked up
the pod. Jared Witts is a huge loss.
Yeah, he is.
Huge loss, man. Ginormous. Zach Smith rucking. Mm. I mean, Zach Smith was done 5 years ago. Zach Smith was done when he left Gold Coast
last time around.
So I feel as though his hand's tied behind his back a little bit. Matt Rowe certainly hasn't come on.
No, he's...
It's third game back now, so maybe now you start to go, what are we seeing?
In terms of
being that best player, when you're chasing that midfield.
The next Chris Judd.
You can tick the box and go, righto, that's that spot we win.
Oh, the next Joel Selwood probably.
At the moment, you're going, well, gee, he looks a bit slow.
Yeah.
But we did say there's going to be a letdown factor of Matt Rowe this year without the injury happening. And, of course, he had that injury.
And then he got injured straight away.
But
Noah Anderson's just been injured. Noah Anderson's coming on really well. In terms of a young guy with consistent output.
You forget he's his second year too, don't you? There's boxes there, but there's boxes everywhere.
Mm.
King, Lukosius. This season, would you say any of them have come on further than what you expected?
I think comparatively in his position, Ben King's now, he's in the top sort of five Coleman.
Yeah.
You have to give him a tick there. In terms of he's doing his job.
Of course he's doing his job, absolutely, fan. But one out, full forward, out of a goal square. In a team, I wonder how many goals they'd kick.
Yeah.
Like Josh Kennedy would be leading the Coleman there.
Yes.
If he was just purely playing in the goal square, everybody would be out of full forward.
Everyone would be banned from the forward 50.
Well, JK, for example, at West Coast, Liam Ryan has a go. Which then Darling has a go. Then Oscar Allen has a go.
Gold Coast had a big dip at Josh Kennedy when he was last year.
But same as Geelong, you know, Hawkins is in there. Then Gary Rowan's in there. Then Jeremy Cameron's in there. They rotated around. A lot of the clubs do.
Yeah, I don't think anyone, except for, I think, yeah.
Oh, Kings obviously come along, but I don't
Kings
think
Kings come along, took on that extra gear, but yeah. There's the rest of them is a no.
Like, your boy has been atrocious.
Ranking.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can't get near him.
He's your boy.
I know, he said started so well.
Yeah.
Ooh. After like 2 years of
You're beating the drum.
Mate, fair.
Stewie, you there next year?
Yeah, he is going to be.
Absolutely 100% Stewie.
I think this, at this point next year, if there's nothing, if we're in the same situation, then he's
It's going to be hard. But yeah, I think that they can, this year they're that deep in, but I wouldn't be surprised if they could beat Richmond this week.
But I actually had to half think about that when tipping.
I was like, I'm trying to find an upset somewhere.
Mm. I think that shows the faith that they've got in him by the fact that they cleaned out all the assistants. At the start of the year?
Yeah, and then someone leaked that pissing video.
And then they leaked the pissing video, But that's, I think the board and everyone else at the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Because the pressure's on the kind
Evans
of one. Well.
Mark Evans was the future CEO of the AFL.
Mm.
Now he's probably...
there is no future CEO of West Coast. Nizzy's going to be
Nizzy's there till he dies. Yeah. But, you know, he is now probably dropped back a rung, and Benny Gale over that period of time has gone fourth.
Yeah, he's popped up, hasn't he?
So Gold Coast are in a bad spot. They need to string together 5 wins in a row. Mm. I reckon that's like the level of where things can take off. They're a long way off doing that.
Yeah. And they'll get pick. Oh, who knows where they'll finish.
Bloody Hawthorn, stop winning.
North Melbourne
are trying their hardest to get off the bottom.
Well, it's now starting to look like pick 1 and 2 will both be academy. Both father sons,
Darcy and Dacos.
So the Bulldogs could get 2 number ones.
In a row
after playing.
The father of some one, I agree with
the academy.
If you have to bid for your father's
academy ones, has changed now. It's in the top 20. It's a no go.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
Yeah. It's top 40 from next year.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good, get rid of it.
Well, the fact that Shannon Motlop's son's in Fremantle's academy is like, as if this kid wasn't going to find football, we had to go and find him
but I'm all for the academies, all for them. There needs to be that much money pumped into rural Australia because you don't have that.
But that was the only incentive.
Every club has to make a commitment to spend $5 million or whatever the figure is.
You just have to legislate that. The commitment was that they would only do it if they got something. Like, clubs aren't the altruistic ventures.
Which you say...
They do something if they get something
stiff
back.
Stiff shit.
Yeah.
You get to employ people. You might get to keep, 3 of your fan favourites around the club for 3 years. Give them a job. But your job is to be at West Coast or Fremantle or Hawthorn or wherever you want to be. But... every second week you are in this region and that is your job. And then when it comes to draft time, everyone's in the same pot. Everyone's had the same money spent on it. Everyone's been developed.
Yeah.
You don't need to be given the cherry
the
to say,
bigger.
Hey, there's a number one draft pick. Now we need to pretend we care.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right.
Everybody wins from the pool being bigger.
Yeah.
That does remind me of the development coach at a certain club who told me a story of all the players who used to say, man, this is a nightmare. How can you do this job? Can't believe it. And then as soon as every one of them was retired, they listed, he got a phone call saying, hey, got any jobs going in the development?
Anything in development available?
Anyone around a carnival?
Mate, I'm with you there. Work sucks. It all sucks. Development coaching's the way to go.
Yeah, get on board. Well, you were a 1-year Colts coach, weren't you?
P.S. I actually really love my job in case my boss was. I love it. I love it as much as Zach Merritt.
What do you got, Josh? You got something?
Nisbet just released a statement saying that about the Eagles mask gate.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, what have
this
you
is
got?
Why we've got Joshy, producer Joshy. Mate, he's a star.
Yeah.
Need a breaking news thing.
Just release.
You got a button, just hit.
Oh, no, that's
fine. That'll do. How do you go reading?
I used to be a reporter, mate. The West Coast Eagles are aware of photographs published of players wearing masks incorrectly on a charter flight to Melbourne yesterday. He basically goes on to say it's important to note that for the most of the flight it was the same. All the staff were wearing masks pretty much the whole time. It slipped and it was a chartered flight, so it was just them. So he basically says, piss off.
But if it's a chartered flight, it's like... Mate, it's my car.
Yeah.
It's a chartered flight. No one is on there that shouldn't be.
As much as like there's always been a strange relationship between West Coast and the media over here, just got to respect the fact in all these situations for the last 20 years, their response has been the same.
Yeah.
Cool. See ya.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I love Niz. Yeah. Nah, Nizzy, you want to be on his good side, but he's a gun.
Cool. You guys still need us for back pages, right? All right. Cool. Sweet.
Yeah. Essentially.
Do you know Nick Nat talks to LeBron on the phone?
He does. Get on the back. All right. This has been the Hardball Gets AFL show with thanks to the all-new Mazda BT50, the complete package. See you next time.